Hi, you're listening to Cookies and Cream, episode 15.
So today on Cookies and Cream, we're talking about kids.
Kiddos.
We're talking about kiddos. Yeah, it's going to be fun, Lise.
It is. It's good. We're talking about some of our childhood experiences and then also some of our experiences of what it's been like to be a parent.
Yeah.
And the good, the bad, the ugly, and all that kind of comes with that. So we hope you enjoy it. And even if you're not a parent, tune in.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Lisa.
And I'm Rob.
And you're listening to a podcast about
life,
faith,
family,
and relationships.
Hey guys, what's up? What's up? What's up? It's Friday.
It's the weekend.
It's the weekend, people. Cheers to the weekend. Welcome to Cookies and Cream. And it's Friday the 14th.
Yay.
Yay, Friday the 14th. Lisa's laughing like she doesn't know the date. That was like a yay.
I know, and I really should know the date.
But... on the 12th day of... is it 12 days? This is it. 12 days of Christmas.
14 plus 2. No.
11.
That would be 26. So 11 days.
Yeah, I'm saying 11, but 12th day was yesterday. What's on the 11th? What's on the 11th day of Christmas? A partridge in a pear tree on the first day. I don't know how the song goes, but listen, if you know what the 11th day of Christmas is, hey, why don't you just let us know? Because we can Google it and we'll probably know by the time you send us a message. But you know what I mean? Christmas is big time. Christmas is big time. Okay, Lisa, read the review before we talk about Christmas.
This is from Casey Pilot 10. And it says, Rob and Lisa give such great insight into the ways our culture deals with the issues they talk about. They're real and refreshing to listen to, as if you're sitting at their kitchen table with them. Their conversation is genuine and you'll laugh out loud at all of Rob's side comments. I look forward to this every week.
Hey, Casey Pilot 10, let's be friends. How about that? You know, I don't know what it was about that review that makes me feel like we could be real good friends. Barbecues.
Pretty
you can
sure
be
I could tell you what it was.
Friends with
about
our family.
That
but hey, listen, it's 11 days before Christmas. Are you
Christmas.
Ready?
Am I ready? No.
What? Okay.
I don't have all my Christmas shopping done.
Listen, you buy me gifts. You're the one who's responsible for that. And that is definitely my love language. So, ma'am, I hope...
I know.
I hope you have me covered, at least.
Got you.
The kids never know. And then, talking about kids never knowing Christmas stuff, I have a great Christmas story
as a kid.
Okay. My brother and I were laughing on the phone earlier because no one believes that this is what used to happen for us, to us at Christmas. But Christmas Day would come, we'd gather around the tree. I don't know, my parents, for people who Christmas wasn't really in their culture growing up, like they really did well anyway. I don't know, you know, because I want you to be listening to this in your car, maybe your kids are there, you know what I mean? Anyway, but then
I've messed it up
for a lot of people. But anyway, bam, under the tree, boom, every year there was this deodorant. It was like water, basically, called Reward. That was its name, Reward. Every year my parents would get each and every one of us Reward. Anyone who's older, anyone who's kind of starting to stink, so teenage boys, Reward and socks. Like, that was the thing.
That's what you got, chocolate bar, too.
And bar one and socks. So, yeah, Reward had a stint. It had a three-peat, my brother and I were talking. But anyway, let me get to the crux of the story.
Sorry.
One year, we wake up, okay? One year, bam, Christmas Eve. Doosh, they write our names on the gifts. Everyone knows what Reward and socks look like. They know it. The shape. We've known the shape. I'm the shape of you. Like, we knew exactly what it was. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, I'm getting sidetracked.
Oh, my.
There's this big box with my name on it. Big, huge box. I'm like, what? Everyone's like, what? Like, my family, you know, brothers, you know, siblings. Ah, I got a big box. Anyway, Christmas morning. I want you to imagine little Rob wakes up. I'm up early. Dun, 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 dun. Bam, I'm happy. It's Christmas morning. It's time to open gifts. We're like, yeah. hey guys, my brothers opened theirs. Surprise, guess what I got? Reward and socks. I'm like, hey, I'm happy. I'm like, I know that that's not what's in this box. Anyway, I rip it open. I open this box. It's a toy train. It's a train set. Doosh. I'm like, what? The family's going wild. They're like, what did he do to deserve this? Like, you know what I mean? Naughty and nice, you know, we know. No. Anyway, I open the train, set up the tracks. My dad's helping me. Doosh, the family's going wild. I want you to remember this. And we're all going crazy. There's jealousy and envy everywhere. But I'm like, haters gonna hate. I have a train. Boom. We put it on the tracks. Bam, starts moving. On the instructions, it says that the train is supposed to have a little steam. Train doesn't have steam. I'm like, it's okay, Dad. I don't care. I like my train. It moves. It does things. I'm cool with it. No. It has to have steam. I paid for this. I'm like, no, Dad, don't. It's cool. No. Put it back in the box. I put it back in the box. My dad was like, tomorrow, return it, and I'll come back, and you're going to have your steam train. Lisa's dying because she knows the story. Okay, 26th, 27, my dad takes it to the store as planned. I'm thinking 27, 5 p.m., I'm getting a new train. 28, 29, 30, 31, new year, 1, 2. Fast forward, month 2. Nothing. Month 3, nothing. April, nothing. June, nothing. September, have a birthday, nothing. 1 year, nothing. I remember after a year, my brothers were like, hey, why don't you just go ask what happened to that train, bruh? Year 2, year 3, year 4. I've been counting, guys. It's 20-something years. The train never came back. I have a Christmas where I didn't get a present. I have a Christmas where I went zero in gifts after mocking reward and socks. Kids, man, like it sticks in our mind. It sticks in our minds. It never leaves us.
It's not even that part. I'm just like, being a parent, I'm like, I could never do that.
Hey, don't judge my parents. Some financial situations came up. The train was a little bit of a splurge on one kid.
Shame, but the devastation.
I was still devastated.
To this day, I can feel the pain.
I'm scarred. I'm scarred. I almost bought myself a train last year just to make up for it.
Hey, maybe that's what the girls should give you for Christmas.
No, I don't want it.
You finally got yours, trains.
Maybe there's some healing that will occur there. Some healing. 24 years later, healing.
Oh my gosh.
So anyway, we're talking about kids and how you can scar them with bad Christmas gifts. This episode's about kids. It's about kids, people.
We have 2 kids, in case you did not know that. We have a almost 5-year-old.
Oh, what? Almost 5?
Yeah, she'll be 5 in April.
Jeez, that's unreal.
And then we have an almost 1-year-old. Shucks. I might actually cry.
I might cry as well. 1, guys. Okay, so we got 2 kids, 5 and 1. You know, and life, I have to say.
5 and 11 months.
5 and 11. Shucks. That's amazing. But anyway, listen, back to the point. We're talking about kids and what having kids is like and all of that and what a life changer. Don't switch off. Listen, if you don't have kids, don't make the mistake I made when I was kidless.
Yes.
It's like I looked and observed people with kids and was like, why do I even need to pay attention to that? I wish I had my notepad. I wish I had studied hard. I wish I had learned the tricks of the trade. I wish I had known kids can transform your life in a beautiful way, but they transform your life for sure.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes, they do. For instance, only just starting to sleep again.
I know, guys. You know what? You'll never know what time we record this podcast. But is it quiet? Do the math.
Very true.
Either this podcast costs us hundreds of dollars to produce because we hire babysitters, or this is late night. I feel like those radio shows. You're listening to the 2 a.m. drive. Like, who's up at 2 a.m.?
We are.
Okay, so Lise, okay, back on track. Okay. All right. It is 2 a.m.
Gotta
it must
keep
be
it real.
2 a.m.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, oh, the podcast. I'm joking. Nah, we're kidding. We're kidding. We planned for this. Okay, Lise, so.
Yes.
I know I'm talking a lot, but I just have some things on my chest that I have to get off my chest. Okay. Right. And I'm the more awake of the two of us.
Do what you gotta do. You're the more high functioning one right now.
I know. It's like, what are we doing awake? Okay, so here's the deal. I haven't encountered a lot of dad blogs. And I've been thinking, and I'm gonna pitch this to the listeners about dad blogs. I have some pretty cool ideas for names. And I think it's time for like a dad blog to arise. I don't think I'm the one who's going to write it, but if you're a dad and you're listening to this, or your mom, or you are friends with a dad, just recommend this. You know, I've been thinking about names to hear this. You haven't even heard this.
Okay. No, I have not.
Okay. Title. Think about this. Title for a dad blog.
Okay.
The Walking Dad. Like, it's like the walking. Like the
That's terrible.
Okay. What about Poopity Scoop? Poopity Scoop.
Oh my goodness. Yes, that's actually pretty good. That is actually pretty good.
I also had some bad ones like, I'm dad, you know it.
Oh, wow.
But that was a little long. Link in bio. But anyway, guys, dad blogs, because I don't think dads get to speak into this game a lot.
No, that's very true. They don't.
You know what I mean? I think like we're just chilling.
Yes.
And moms are just, mom blogs are everywhere.
That's true. Almost in excess, and almost to a point where sometimes it can create more negative stuff than positive stuff.
I negative? Think. How can a mom blog be negative? Like, wow. Like, how is that possible?
Let's just say. Well, I was going to say something, and then I was like, whenever I say that, it comes out wrong. So I'm just going to say comparison.
Comparison.
Yes.
Comparison is a tough one, you know what I mean? Like, okay, so tell me, how do mom blogs create comparison?
Well, I think in one way or another, if you read it, either you think you're not meeting a certain standard, mm-hmm. or you're judging that mom because you think she's not meeting a certain standard. Okay. And therefore, we start playing the comparison game.
Okay, please tell me the most judgmental thing that you felt or maybe you've dealt. Felt or dealt. That's a new. That's our new segment.
Felt or dealt. Ooh, what's the thing?
Yeah, I'll give you a second to think.
Okay.
Because I do think that parenting is like one of these things that is like, can you really compete though? Like, can you really compare? Because children are different. Because people are different. Like from person to person, you know what I mean?
Mm.
So it's like, oh, you know, I give my kids butternut squash. I don't know what the comparison is. Like, I put some ginger in there and I put some cinnamon.
Well, I think you joke about that, but that's actually a really big thing right now among like this current generation of moms, and that I say that in like wherever you fall.
Ginger and cinnamon.
No, but food.
Oh, food.
So like, do you only feed your children only organic foods?
Ew.
Do you only, for your babies, are you only making homemade baby food versus store-bought baby food?
Mm.
And there's a lot around that of like, if you're not doing it this way, you're not doing it right.
Wow. But you know what I mean? Like, I think we go, health. And you know what the funny thing is? Like, not the funny thing, but the sad thing is, like, you can't compare that. Like, you know what I mean? I'm using a very simplistic thing right now, but Twinkies are like 0 in 5 million. Not killing anyone, but Chipotle is like, whoa, E. coli. It's so healthy until it kills you. Chipotle.
Like all the lettuces, like the iceberg thing and the romaine.
And I know it's not funny, but like romaine literally is poisonous. Like I ate something the other day, and I'm not joking, Lise. I ate lunch the other day and there was like this little leaf in there and I was like, identify yourself immediately. Who are you? Bloop, bloop. Hands up. Like every time I see lettuce, I'm like,
oh my goodness.
What kind of lettuce are you? Like I was so scared to put that thing in my mouth. And you know how my mind plays tricks on me.
Right.
That whole day right. I had a fake psychological stomach ache because I actually did give in and I ate the lettuce. I couldn't leave it. The waitress was judging me. But like she's just going to leave that one little piece of lettuce like we'll give you romaine. I was like, I think you would.
No.
All right, so going into this, Lisa, I remember reliving some of our moments.
Hmm.
Like, do you remember the day your first child was born? Do you remember the moments, like, what that looked like? And taking her home and that day, the discharge.
Yeah.
From the hospital. Sorry, if you've never been in those rooms.
Oh wow, this got real.
No, but I'm just saying, yo, like it's listen, man. Think about this. David Attenborough would bounce. You wouldn't do BBC Planet Earth. You know, and the deer, you know, he's like, and the deer is giving its young come up and they're just running and they pray. They already pray. Like, you know, it's like, geez, you're just going to watch the little antelope get eaten by a lion day one. Come on, David, get in the game. But it's pretty much like that. It's not cute like that.
It's not.
But I mean, the discharging from the hospital, what was that? Do you remember that day, those moments?
I do remember them. Like, what? I'm not sure what you're asking me,
like,
though.
Just walk me through emotion, like the weight.
One, you're also just exhausted because you just pushed a human being out of your body.
That. I felt that.
You sure did.
I was tired.
Go away. With our first child, though, it was a little different for you, so I'll give you that. I think even like the actual moment of leaving the hospital, I remember we buckled Hope into the car seat and she just started screaming, like wailing.
Wow.
And we could not get her to stop. And at that point, I was still nursing. And so we weren't using a pacifier because of all of that stuff that they tell you not to do. And so I remember she's sobbing, and they're wheeling me out and she's sitting like in the car seat on my lap and you're walking beside us. The nurse is pushing me and I'm just like, wait, I don't think I'm ready to go yet.
Like, stay. Can we stay another night?
Can we just stay one more night, please? I don't think I'm ready for this. And I just remembered like her just not enjoying the car ride home and just feeling like, oh my gosh, I just want to take her out. I want to love her. Like, I want to figure this out.
Yeah.
So many different emotions. And then it's like you get home and it was fun because like our sweet, sweet friend had decorated like the place with Hope's name and like welcome home Hope and all of this fun stuff. And
but
that was
that
great.
Counts when the baby's crying.
But okay. Pretty much. but then just that moment of, oh my gosh, like I have a real little human being.
Yeah.
That I deeply, deeply love, but I'm also terrified because I feel like I have no idea as to what I'm doing or how I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
Feeling like all the good feels and then all the like really terrified, like this is an actual person.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I can say ditto. But I'll be for real. When the nurse was like, okay, guys, it's almost time to go home. I was like, nah, you know what I mean? Where's the manual? Okay. Let's have another go. I wasn't listening when you were doing it the first time. When you were cleaning around the belly button, I did not pay attention. You said water must not make contact or water must. What were you saying? Like, I was like, be clear. Like, how can you just let us? I was like, wanted to be like, ma'am, you're actually irresponsible letting me take the baby. It's actually not right that you're letting me do this. And then, you know, I can't even believe it. We had a few days. You know, some people just pop babies out in a tub. And if you are one at home, If you are, more power to you. But yo, like, it's real. Like that whole process is real, because you are, like, you know what I mean? From the first time the doctor put you in my arms, I'm like feeling like Will Smith. And I might be overdoing the side comments, sorry, because of the review. Now I'm like trying to make someone who I don't even know
You're
laugh.
You're so rude.
Hey.
You're being laugh. Rude to me.
Laugh. No, but seriously, Lise, I was like, oh my. Laugh. Laugh. You know? But seriously, it was like a great responsibility. I felt like the weight of the world. Mm. Like driving home, you know, the closest thing I'd ever felt, Lise, seriously, was in grade 4 or grade 5. When my parents, day 1, they bought me a pair of Wayne Brenners.
If you know, my gosh, should you just compare our firstborn child to a pair of shoes?
No, I'm not saying that.
That is so wrong.
I'm not saying that, man. Those shoes were whack. They were school shoes. They were leather brown shoes. But you didn't want to miss, you know what I mean? You're so careful. I'm talking about like the age. I'm so young. It's a new pair of school shoes. You're scared. Like, I don't want to scuff them.
Of taking care of them.
Like, you always think someone's going to step on your shoes. Mm. And I think in the car, I was like, this dude driving so slow. Like, I'm like, no, don't overtake. Don't, you know what I mean? Because I've got this precious person in my car. Mm-hmm. You know, and obviously you always think that as a parent, but at that moment, you've never felt that.
Yeah.
And it was like, from that day, like, if you guys watch me as a parent, you think helicopter, think, what's the robot that cleans your floor?
iRobot?
I'm iRobot parent, not a helicopter parent. I'm like right in their face. Oh, like, can I chew that steak for you and spit it in you like a bird? Because I'm like, I don't want you to choke.
Seriously, Rob is a helicopter parent. Like, through and through.
that's just because but I trust the Lord. Listen, I trust the Lord. But I just don't, you know, I just don't trust that there isn't a chicken bone in the chicken. Like, you know what I mean?
I get it.
That's my responsibility. Lisa's like, hey, they're going to live. Like, Lisa's like, what? She's like, not helicopter parent. And I was like, I wish I had the freedom. I wish I had your heart right now. She's like, don't worry, she has teeth. I'm like, what? Like, how's that? Like, for real, you're going to just let her, like, caught on the cob? She's 7 months, like.
She loved when I gave her that corn on the cob. Because it was like a teething toy at the same time.
I didn't even think she could hold anything. And she, like, corn on the cob, piping hot, her little hands are like, nah, don't worry, I got this.
You exaggerate so badly. That corn had been in the refrigerator cooling down.
And the sound I'm making, rah, 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 that's how fast she was eating that thing. I was so concerned.
She loved it. Oh my gosh.
It was a parenting But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is, guys, listen, just because there are teeth in there. But anyway, point I'm trying to make is, you know, there's a great responsibility and a weight that comes with it. And no one is, there's no manual given, you know, in the hospital. They just, it's like a factory in there. They're like, yo, we're just trying to clear the next bed out. So bounce. Good luck, you know. And so it really is real. But we actually want to talk more about this as well from a spiritual aspect. Just to be like, hey, you know, what's the responsibility? Not just keeping a little baby alive. But what do you do to make your children thrive?
Yeah, I think that's so, so important. And I feel like we said, we have an almost 5-year-old and an almost 1-year-old. So we are still learning how to do this and navigate.
Disclaimer,
this.
Not experts. Disclaimer, don't do what we do. Disclaimer, not experts. Please make sure your kid isn't going, yo, is that corn on the cob? Give it to the little kid.
No, I'm just Oh my goodness.
No, but I'm just saying, you know, we're just sharing our experience as well.
Right, absolutely. And I think too, so often we don't talk honestly about how wonderful having children is and how hard it is all at the same time. And that it can be beautiful and ugly all at the same time.
Yeah.
And I think, at least for me, like having children, one has taught me just how selfish I am. I thought marriage could do that.
Yeah.
But having children has definitely been like a refining fire
in
that way. But then it's also taught me to live in tension.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what I mean by that is like the and but type of situation.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like I said, the beautiful and the ugly, you know, the good and the bad, the like anything that contradicts. And I feel like you're almost constantly living in that tension of, oh my gosh, this is so wonderful. Oh my gosh, I think I'm failing.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I think today I hit the nail on the head. Oh my goodness. I snapped at my child. I lost my patience. Like, just this constant up, down, up, down. Like, and living in that tension and knowing that it's good.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Even when it doesn't feel like it is.
Yeah. That's so good. Yeah, that feeling of failure, you know, I think one of the things, like dads, that's hard. Because at least moms, you know, talk about it. But dads, like... Yeah. It's almost like the feeling of failure is like, you know, and we try and like Fred Flintstone it or whatever and be like, you know, dads don't feel a thing. But, you know, the times where I felt like I failed my children and I'm like, how much of this are they going to remember? How much of my shortcomings are they going to remember? And then it's like, man, I just don't want to fail them. I want them to... You know, and there's obviously not 100% rig. And, you know, you got older kids and you're listening to this. You're probably going, oh, geez, I just need to have coffee with that sweet little couple that is just talking on this podcast. Because you're like, you know, guys, listen, don't even stress. You ain't seen nothing yet, man. Like, people always tell me, wait till they get to teens.
Oh, my gosh. Everyone keeps saying that to me right now. I'm like, why?
And then they have this laugh as they walk away.
I know. It's like, we can't wait to see you and the doom that those years will bring you. I'm like... That is just so not helpful.
Yeah. Just be happy that they even look at you. What? What do you mean? What's that? Just be happy that they...
I think that that's something else too in parenting that we can do. And I see specifically like in the baby stage, people do it a lot. But almost like the... sharing your experience without somebody else even asking you what your experience was. So it's like, oh my goodness, well, let me tell you what happened when I was in labor. And you're like, why did you just share that with me when like I have no frame of reference? I'm having my first baby. I didn't need to know that.
I know.
And so one thing, like,
I just heard a rep. Oh my god, no, don't tell me. Don't tell me that. I remember you sharing.
Oh my gosh, it was awful.
Like, before, like 9 hours before labor.
Oh my.
Yeah, they had to bring in all the specialists. It was, it was crazy.
It's like, why? Thanks.
Why are you saying that? Like, oh my goodness. And so I think the one thing too that I have tried to do with other moms is never share my experience unless asked. Like specifically in like a, hey, well, how was this for you? Or what was your experience of this? Versus going, oh my gosh, let me tell you.
Yeah.
You know, or going, hey, would you like to hear what that was like for me? Would that be helpful for you?
Yeah.
Because honestly, sometimes like, I don't want to hear.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't want to hear how awful this was for you or how wonderful this was for you. Because I think immediately... no matter where I may and my child may fall on that spectrum, I start to go, oh my gosh, we're killing it. Or, oh my gosh, like I really need to up my game.
Yeah.
And then you just are constantly always in that mindset. So that's just one little thing I'm like, as you.
Yeah. And I have to protect my heart as well, because we can get into that place where, you know, we even sometimes bump into, you know, like, oh, man, that kid was so rude. And you're like, oh, well, at least that's not my kid. Like, you know, and it's like, it's just not the way it's meant to be. And we all, you know, whether we all do it or don't, like, sometimes it's just like we always constantly have to have a check on our hearts that we're not like situations are different. Children are wired differently. They're human beings. Like, they're wired differently. Mm. And they have, you know, they have different things that are shaping them even at a very young age. Mm. You know, the scariest thing is, like, I'll tell you this, Lise, like, you know, children are like a mirror at times. Like, you're like, oh man, that's so me. That's what I do. And, you know, so sometimes it's like, I get like, you know, sometimes I get shy and I'm like, oh, I don't really say what's on my mind or the request. And it's so funny when I see my daughter going like, taking, like, I'm like, why would you think my answer is going to be no? Why are you asking that way? Yeah. And then I think that's exactly how I ask people for a favor.
Yeah,
I automatically assume their answer is going to be no. She couldn't have possibly seen me in those situations for her to actually be that way.
Yeah.
That's like, that might, you know, it's like brings to clarity, like, man, is that how I was just wired?
Yeah.
Like to just assume like the worst sometimes, like,
yeah,
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't say no to you, but I think that you would say no to me. Mm. Like, and therefore it creates this barrier and like, you know, it's like weird. Like when I see it, I'm like, is that what I look like?
Mm.
And I'm like, geez, I need to change that. And I need to encourage her that, hey, listen, just ask. Yeah. What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah. It's funny that you say that because my mom actually always used to say that to me when I was little. She was like, you should just ask because the worst I can do is say no.
Yeah.
And almost just like setting it up for, that's really the worst thing that's going to happen is I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
Everything's still going to be okay.
But our hearts, the way we're wired, is no.
Yeah.
Rejection. It's like, how we handle rejection. And I can see when you're younger, it might be, I struggle with rejection. So, man, like, I don't want to be rejected, which is why I'm not asking.
Yeah.
Because that feeling makes me sick.
Yeah.
That's it's so, true. So, like, I'd rather not ask than be rejected. It's like children showing you a mirror of yourself, like, is definitely a part that I just was surprised by.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Or showing you a mirror of like, what you're not. You're like, Jesus, awesome confidence. I wish I was the light of, I wish I walk in a room and light it up that way. You know what I mean? I'm glad that you got that. Wow.
I know.
What a gift.
Oh my
goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one thing I see in our oldest. But I don't want to like brag on our kids right now. But
dude, brilliant. Until they wake up.
She does just have a confidence about her, though, that, like, I think of Halloween. So we went trick-or-treating on Halloween, and it was myself, Hope, and Nakai. And we were walking around a neighborhood, so Hopey wasn't with other kids her age, but she would walk up to those doors. They took, like, a couple times of me going up with her. But then she started walking up and she'd be like, oh, I love your pumpkin. Oh, I love this. And people in the neighborhood, it's not even our neighborhood, people are falling in love with her going, where do you guys live? I remember one couple, they were like, oh my goodness, she could be the next president. We just love her. Like literally everybody was.
And the helicopter parent in me is going, nah, no, get away from that door. Danger, oh stranger, God. Danger, oh get away from that door.
Weirdo.
We balance each other out, you know what I mean?
Anyway, no, sometimes we don't.
It's lopsided. But it's a good trait, you're saying.
All that to say, but also I think that that's part of just who she is.
A like, different, like, not of you or me,
take credit for that
or pinpoint like, oh, I'm sometimes like that, like, it's like
it's
I'm not
literally
anything
just
that.
Like sometimes I look at her and I'm like, oh my gosh, that is so uniquely who you are as a little person.
Wow. Yeah, they're unique. They're completely different people.
Oh my goodness, completely.
And but it's also like that you are, you know, if you're listening to this, you're like, yeah I'm an individual, I'm unlike no one else, you know what I mean? I'm an OG. Like you being you. And so realizing that everyone is who they are. Yeah, you know, speaking into that a little bit, is like if everyone is who they are, then you shouldn't like vicariously live through your children's lives. Mm. You know, you shouldn't like, you shouldn't be like, yo, you know, I failed to be QB in high school, but you know, you have everything if you're the quarterback in high school, so you're gonna work hard to be the quarterback. And you know, it's like sometimes I see that as well, like parents like forcing their children to live their dream.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Like, I mean, if it works out, like, perfect, man. You like they'll buy you a house when they get drafted into the NFL. But if it doesn't, they're scarred.
Oh my gosh.
It's like, didn't quite make it. Disappointed my dad.
Yeah.
Because I didn't make it to a D1 school, or I didn't make it. And that's, you know, that's another thing. That you could talk really about is. Children forever.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, from a spiritual, biblical aspect, it's like, yo, we are children of God.
Yeah.
And not to, if you say, oh, that's cliche, oh, that's shallow, that's the reality.
Yeah.
That's like, we're God's kids.
Mm.
And we have a father who's the boss. And we have a father who's like, whoa, I'm doper than dope. I'm litter than lit. Yeah. And so that should really be like, okay, I'm going to take that to the bank. Like, that's the thing. That's where my identity is rooted and is found. And we have to teach our kids that. Like, listen, this is your greatest identity. You know what? Who your father is. Your father in heaven is the creator of everything. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's your identity.
That's so true.
You know what I mean?
So true. Yeah, and I think that that's a huge part of being a parent, is instilling that in your children.
Yeah.
And I think even as, you know, we can talk about how we model things for our children and how they see things. And I think so often it's more about what they see than what we say.
Yeah.
And I think when they see us living out our security in who we are because of whose we are, they then learn how to do that for themselves.
Yeah.
And they believe, oh, I am created and designed with a purpose by the ultimate creator. Like, yes, I'm a part of my mom and my dad, but my fingerprint and my set apartness is because of who ultimately designed and created me and called me by name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so good. Like, that's it. Like, confidence in who we are. So you're listening to this now, this like, well, okay, well, it's the thing about kids, but you're a kid too, you're a child of God. Like, this is to you. You have a perfect father. You have a perfect father, like in heaven, perfect. It's like, so we live this life, you know, the imagery that I get is like, we should live this life with the confidence and the boldness of Steve Jobs' kids walking into an Apple store. Like, just like, yo, this is my joint. Like, there's no two ways about it. Bill Gates' kids walking into a Microsoft store, they're like, yo, we run this show. This is it.
Yeah.
Walk this world with that confidence and knowing that, hey, listen, you know what? If your last name is Kathy and you walk into Chick-fil-A, they will give you all the Chick-fil-A sauce you want. It's like, that's, you know, that's, no one's questioning you. And it doesn't mean it's not the prosperity gospel. It's an identity thing. It's like, this is who I am in the Lord. I'm a child of God. So my identity is set. It's done. Because all those things, I think, even like, you know, in raising kids and talking about some of our experiences, like that comes into going like, hey, whose life, you know, even my helicoptering, like it's like, whose life is this child's life in? Like, whose hands is this child's life in? If it's not in your hands, Rob, it's in God's hands. And so, yeah, it's like it's God's plan, God's hands, God's children. And that's ultimately, we're just like, yo, you know, we're just like, yo, we've got them for now, for a season.
Right.
But they're yours, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're yours.
And I think even that with that, like, seasons can go by so fast and life can happen. And I think remembering that, like, I think sometimes I even have to remind myself that my children are not a direct correlation or reflection of who I am as a person.
Mm.
That they are their own little people. And yes, I have the responsibility to shape and to mold and to chisel and to encourage and to empower and to challenge and but also allowing myself to first and foremost be my own child of God yeah. and what that looks like.
Yeah.
And that my identity in that does not change.
Yeah.
And is not reshaped, if you will,
yeah.
by being a mother
yeah.
to other little image bearers. And so I think, like, even if you are listening to this and you're like, man, like, who does that say that I am? And when I have children, what does that look like for me?
Yeah.
Or, you know, just some of those things, like what Rob was saying, even if you don't have children, like, you're a child.
Yeah.
Like, this is just directly even reflective of who you are. And I think that children are such a gift.
They are.
But we do have to remember that our children are gifts from the Lord. Like, yeah. they genuinely are. And I feel like Rob and I, with our girls, we're constantly thinking about how are we shaping yeah. and creating a space and an environment for them to be secure in who they are,
yeah.
So that they can love others well,
yeah.
the way that the Bible calls them and us to, and how are we helping them figure out and shape what their calling is, their unique yeah. and individual yeah. calling, even right now with their little gifts and their personalities that we see unfolding. And I think that that's maybe even like one of the hardest parts of being a parent.
Yeah.
Is kind of that letting God have control in this area where you think you're in control.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome, guys. That's truth. Those are bombs right there. Bang, bang. Truth bombs just hitting. You know what? Hey, listen, guys, thank you so much for listening. Hey, maybe you have a funny story, a similar story to mine. Maybe you have experiences of being a child, or when you were like, okay, I know I'm a child of God. Or you have experiences like, hey, listen, this is what parenting was like for me. First thing, you know, we spoke about the first kid and being like, oh, no pacifier until da 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 da. The second kid, literally, as soon as they were born, yeah, we're like, whoop. Nah, it's okay. You can clean around the pacifier. she's on it. We just value quiet. But that's why she doesn't cry. But just to say this, like, you know what I mean? You change and you shift and you grow yeah. and you adapt and you adjust. And there's no perfect parent, as Lise posted on Instagram earlier on today, because I follow her closely. And and I just wanted to say this, guys, like, maybe you have that thing that I had, like, you know, it's like, oh man, there's this one moment in life and it's a Christmas moment and it's like the train that never came back, which is like a title for a book, but the train that never came back, how to deal with your daddy issues, but it's like, it's deep, but the reality is that even if you felt let down and in some way, that's not who God is, and that lens should change. That lens should be reimagined, reshaped, reestablished, as God is not gonna let you down. You know, he's gonna come through. So anyway, that's one memory from growing up that I don't think should taint my whole childhood, because there are times my dad did come back on that trip or something. So it's like just take that to the bank, and hope that takes you all the way to Christmas, where we celebrate the birth of the child, the Son of God. Bam, the greatest gift ever given. So that's going to be happening. Lise, get on the gifts. Cookies and cream. Out.